Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning over the phone is Kelly Foreman from the Kodiak Baptist Mission on Kodiak Island. Kelly, good morning and thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this interview. I just have a couple of quick Alaska Farmland Trust announcements before we jump in. I want to remind folks, if you didn't hear last week, that coming up in July, we have the celebration of a donated easement on one of our properties. So the Mountain Field Farm here in Palmer, a 16-acre easement donation that happened at the end of 2018, and we're going to celebrate it with our friends and supporters on Thursday, July 18th. We'll have some food trucks, some beer, some signage reveals, and a nice little walk around the farm. So stay tuned to our social media, website, etc. for more announcements on that. It will be a free, family-friendly event, but we are hoping to get some RSVPs from folks so we know how much food to prepare. So again, Mountain Field Farm Celebration, Thursday, July 18th. Stay tuned for more information. Now, moving right ahead, Kelly, thanks again for joining me. And I was thinking this morning, how did I hear about this operation first, or where did I first hear about the Kodiak Baptist Mission? And I think this is one of those weird social media things, but I think I first heard about you guys through Instagram, through following your incredible pictures from the farm there on the island.
Good deal. Yeah, we have it's at Simply Living, AK, and we started to do that, goodness, it might be a little over a year now, that we thought, oh, maybe people would enjoy to see.
Oh, absolutely.
What we do every day.
Yeah, it's an incredible setting. I hope to be able to come out and visit it someday. But Kelly, I always like to start the show by asking my guests how they got here. How did you get to Alaska, and how did you get involved in this segment of the Alaska agriculture industry?
Sure. I have been in Alaska now, well, in Kodiak, for about 14 years.
Okay.
And I actually came up to work as a volunteer at Kodiak Baptist Mission in their summer camp program. So
okay.
I was a summer counselor. And one way or another, I was a communication major in college. I grew up in Nebraska and was able to finish my college internship at the Baptist Mission. And then kind of worked my way into a job. But it wasn't up until, oh goodness, now it's been 5-6 years ago, our now executive director, Johnny Walker, really legitimate, that's his name, Johnny Walker came, and with my farming background, and then he had a lot of horse experience, we decided to kind of push forward in those efforts. And so that was the beginning. We flew over a couple of miniature Nubian goats from Wasilla, and he trailered up his horse and mule from West Virginia.
Oh my goodness.
And started off small, and little by little we've grown into what I call it's a mixed species heritage farm. And so we work with kids every day, and for us it's really important to hold on to our history and our heritage and what farming was when I grew up and my grandparents grew up. And so when you step onto our campus, it's really a full-on learning experience, lots of fun, lots of work. But that's really how we got here. We got here to share farming and history with our Kodiak community. And I have a lot of goat experience. And one day I was milking goats with a group of kids. And long story short, I really wanted them to be able to see the entire process, all the way from birth to to kidding to milking and then being able to consume the milk. And I had no idea at the time how hard fuzzy dairy would actually be.
Right.
But that's how we got to where we're at today.
Yeah, and so that's a recent development on the operation, is that you are a Grade A pasteurized dairy, correct?
That is correct. Just here in the past month, we finally got all the paperwork complete. We have all the codes, and We are a Grade A dairy.
Well, congratulations on that, because, yeah, I haven't been through the process myself, but I've watched people attempt it, and it's not always an easy task. So three
right.
Cheers to you guys for making that happen. So I'm still hung up on the idea, though, that you started in Nebraska and ended up in Kodiak. So how did that happen, and what made you want to go from landlocked Nebraska to the island of Kodiak?
Sure. Well, my parents were farmers. My dad raised Simmental Angus cattle. My mom did dairy goats. We hand milked 12 goats a day growing
okay.
up. My grandpa had a confinement sheep operation, so from 3,000 to 5,000 sheep, and my other grandpa raised hogs. And then we had horses on the side. My dad told me he'd buy me a horse if I quit cheerleading as a kid. And so I said, that's a great deal. I can do that.
Absolutely.
And so we had the horses on the side. So lots of farming roots. But
yeah.
my cousins had lived in Kodiak, and I went fishing with my grandpa. My grandma did not want to go one summer. I said I was in the right place at the right time. So I told my grandpa, I'll go with you. So we headed up to Kodiak, and I just fell in love with this island and came back to just as a whim in the summer in college to just, you know, as a summer job to work with kids at a day camp, and just couldn't get Alaska out of my system.
Right.
And my husband now, he's actually from Nebraska, but came up to volunteer at the same camp, and he loved it here, and so he said, I can get a job anywhere. He was a teacher.
Okay.
And so after getting married, we drove the Alcan, and we've, for the most part, been here ever since.
Wow. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So lots of agriculture background for you. And did you always know, you said you had a communications degree, so did you always intend to get back into agriculture, or did this just kind of happen upon you? Or
I don't think I always intended it. Growing up, I always wanted to just be a farm wife in Nebraska. That's what I really thought.
Sure.
But then I love to travel, and I'm very motivated. And so I thought, nope, I want to do other stuff. I want to do other things. And so having the roots were always there, but, you know, you just can't quite get it out of your system.
Sure.
I get that a lot. I get, you know, why would you want to do this all? It's so much work. And it's just in your bones, kind of.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't know that I always intended to do it. However, it just does. You just can't not do it.
Right.
That's kind of where I'm at. And I'm very motivated on self-sustainability, growing our food, knowing where it comes from, responsible agriculture. And, you know, Alaska is just kind of still that last frontier. And
sure.
You can... I always say, I'm like, it's, you know, like 4th of July time, here's America. You can do anything if you work really hard.
Sure, yeah.
It's on need, and so we're doing our best to work towards filling it.
I love it. Well, so talk to me a little bit about the mission itself, where you're located. You know, our listeners are mostly here in the Matsu area, but if I've been to Kodiak before and I've landed at the airport, I've been to kind of Kodiak proper, where is the mission located in comparison to that? Paint a picture for us of the farm.
Sure. So you're going to drive all the way back, all the way through town, going the other direction to the other side, you know, end of the road to White Sands Beach would be what it is. So you're going to go all the way through town. Something really neat. We're outside of city limits. However, we are right up next to them.
Okay.
So everybody can get to the farm. And on this side of the water, we have 32 acres, and we've kind of been able to work it, maneuver it, to have rotating pastures and places for the pigs and the chickens and the ducks and everything to be able to work. But again, we are we have a child care facility. We have a full-time outdoor preschool, so kids come at 9 in the morning and they stay outside until 2 in the afternoon year-round.
Wow.
And they're surrounded by the farm. That's just part of their life. And same with our indoor preschool classes and our after-school program and our summer day camp program. So we are a kids' place.
Yeah.
We work towards preventative care. You know, we start when we're young, and we do our best to engage with families. And we found that the farm and the animals are a great draw. They really help develop some of those social emotional skills for kids. And so we put it together there. But we have the Kodiak Farmers Markets on our campus, on our farm campus here too. Not sure I'm doing a great job answering your question. We're across from Mission Beach, so
yeah.
We have about 600 acres on Woody Island, which is next door, and we have a small free-range cattle herd there, and that's where our horses spend the majority of the year.
Okay.
And we're able to take our landing craft skiff from Mission Beach and shoot them right across over to Woody Island, and we load them, the horses back and forth, the cattle. We don't work quite that way.
Okay.
They have one trip over and they stay.
Okay.
And so it's an easy transport back and forth for us from Mission Beach. We're right up on the water. We're about 50 feet overlooking the channel here. and but it's close enough, but it's kind of falling off away too. So
yeah. Well, a quick, yeah, no, I am envisioning it, and I have the benefit of, like I said, I've been following you guys on social media, and the stunning views from the farm from both the Woody Island location and the main campus location are just outstanding. I mean, it's breathtaking, and I would say it's really not like anything else that I've seen in Alaska when it comes to farms and ranches and agriculture operations. So you're certainly lucky in that regard. Quick interruption to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning is Kelly from the Kodiak Baptist Mission on Kodiak Island. We were just talking about the location of the facility, and you were starting to tell us about some of the different animals and things that you have going on. So you said your primary focus is the kids' preschool and daycare center, and it sounds like a lot of hands-on activity with kids. How many students are coming through there each day, Kelly?
We have a little over 100 kids that come through, but on Saturday when the market's going, that's been so popular and fun this year. Goodness, kids and parents, I feel like we end up with like 500 people coming through here in a morning. But every day, it's a little over 100 kids are here every day of the week for us. And so it's turned into Sunday's the one day that it's pretty quiet. Otherwise, Monday through Saturday, we're busy with kids and families.
Well, and how lucky for those kids to have that hands-on agriculture experience every single day. I mean, I was one of those lucky kids that got to grow up on a farm, but for the kids that don't have that direct connection, what a great experience for them. So tell us more about the animals that are there on the farm. You've mentioned pigs and goats and the cows and horses, but give us some numbers and kind of a look and feel for what those animals' roles are on the operation. Are we harvesting animals for meat, or are they just there to look at and live out their days?
Right. So I kind of joke with kids, like, we're an actual farm. We name our pigs pork chops and bacon. That's what they are.
Yeah.
But that's part of the whole process. We try to sugarcoat anything. Now, I will admit there are a couple very near and dear goats to my heart that would be very hard to get rid of. But we are a full functioning farm. But we also try and have a variety for people to learn about. So we have about 8 sheep, not tons, but we shear our sheep. We do use our sheep for meat. We are in the process. I have a cute little herding dog that we're working to teach her how to be a great herding dog, which is a process. She's kind of helping those efforts. And we look towards long-term to be able to kind of offer some of those activities for people to come and herd.
Oh,
and train their dogs.
Yeah.
And so that's more the purpose of the sheep, you know, and then of course we get to shear and use the wool for little projects here. Of course, we don't have enough sheep to make it a big deal. And
sure.
Then we use them for meat too. And then we have our ducks, and ducks are fun. We incubate ducks a lot, but we also use them for meat, we use them for eggs. And so we keep the ladies around and not all the boys. One boy.
Yeah.
And but we have a lot of fun raising our ducks, and we've been able to share, you know, some of them with the friends around the community too, and it's a big draw. That's a really fun one for kids. And my husband is like, he loves to make the duck habitat. And so it's become like this tranquil, fabulous spot instead of the misery normally that ducks create with having to clean up them. I had a young kid tell me the other day, like, Kelly, did you know that a duck poops every 15 minutes? And I was like, I didn't, but that makes so much sense.
Oh, goodness.
That's why our lives are miserable with these ducks.
How many ducks do you have on the place, Kelly?
We have about 7 ducks right now.
Oh, okay.
And I've been informed by the kids that we need to incubate more ducks so we can have more ducklings because all the babies have grown up. And then we have about 65, 70 chickens on the farm, and we use those guys for eggs, and we try and keep everybody in a good cycle where, you know, we get our chicks and hatch them out, but always have eggs. We sell out every Saturday. We can't keep the eggs in stock, and so we have fun raising our little chicks. But then, like I said, their eggs are part of giving to the community. And like I said, I keep trying to say we increase that number by 50% this year, and I probably could do that again.
Wow.
If I can correctly find this, the space for them. So the chickens are a really great bonus and help our community a lot. We have goats. We have a lot of goats, obviously, a grade A certified
sure.
dairy. So right now we have about 45 goats.
Wow.
At least we have 19 kids that were born on the farm. And then we have our milkers, and then I have my replacement does that will be coming online this next year. And we don't keep all the kids. They go to meat. Some of them go to meat. Some of them, of course, stick around and be part of our dairy program here, too.
Yeah.
But kids love baby animals, but goodness, by the time they get 4 or 5 months old, they kind of lose their draw.
Sure.
So,
they become work.
But then, again, we have a large group of people that really enjoy goat meat on our island.
Okay.
So I have a list longer than I can supply for that. And then we have our cattle. We have about 20 cattle over on Woody Island. We have a couple of cows on this side that were bottle calves that need to be over there, but we're working towards that. And so we've just grown our cattle herd. And it's been a lot of fun. Like I said, we doubled that with all the new baby calves that are over on Woody Island, and they free range.
Okay.
This last winter, we only had one snow where we really had a problem. Otherwise, we didn't have any snow here. But we have some hay, but really didn't need too much of it. And we have 10 horses, and they're used primarily in our kids' programs. They are kid horses, and so that's what we've been doing today. We brought all the horses over from Woody Island, and so we'll start a full month of lots and lots of kid horse riding. We're a cowboy-mounted shooting club,
okay.
And so we gun break our horses and then put on a big show and go around the ring and shoot blanks and pop balloons, which is a lot of fun.
Sure.
Let's see, am I missing any of our animals?
Pigs. Tell me more about the pigs.
Oh, pigs. Our pigs. I love our pigs. My dad said, don't get pigs. He grew up with pigs. So that's a terrible idea. And he said, we're just going to get two. And that has grown. So our pig operation, we are pretty hands-on with that. We have about five, six litters a year of piglets, and we haven't had any that have been under 9.
Wow.
And so we're high hands-on. So if you ever follow us on Instagram, this is a fun time of year because we're waking up like every 3 to 4 hours, the first 72 hours to let piglets out to eat and then close them back in so we can box train them so we don't lose any.
Yeah.
And again, those are we sell for meat. And I have a longer list than I know what to do with.
Yeah, a good problem to have.
We sell them on the hoof.
Yep.
And so, like I said, it's we've just increased. We brought over 2 new gilts from the mainland that are meat pigs, a little bit better than we had some Kodiak mutt pigs. So these will get a little bit bigger, a little bit quicker. I just sent off a couple of our piglets with a gentleman yesterday. I said, we're on the verge of these guys being too big to move. But we got it. And then we also, I was really intrigued by Joel Salatin
mm-hmm.
and his approach to how he does pigs. And so
yep.
I went to Virginia and watched that process. And so we electric wire train all of our pigs. And so they're out in pasture right now. And we move them around to different places on the farm so that they can root up kind of the area, but not over stress the ground. And watching a pig be able to be outside this morning, every morning when I come back, I milk one goat and all that milk goes to these pigs.
Okay.
And they just line up right next to that electric wire and watch me until I give them their milk. So it's really neat to see them in outside, more free roaming habitat for them. So
yeah.
We love the pigs.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Are you working with heritage breeds with the pigs? Or are you working towards that? You mentioned the Kodiak mutts for now, but do you have a vision of...
We're working towards more of a heritage breed. We have a Duroc, a huge boar, and we love him. And so we're slowly, with everything that we've done, we try and always balance the budget.
Sure.
We don't want to go into the red. And so we start maybe with not the best, and we just see, could this work? But we try it. We just go for it. And then, okay, this works. Let's go to the next level here.
Yeah.
And I think I'm really thankful for Johnny and then Kelly, Josh, and Steven. kind of have a group of us that spend a lot of the time on the farm here. And then I have another young guy, Josiah. He's come up from Kansas, and he helps out a lot. And so we volunteer all of our time here. None of us get paid to do any of this. It's just kind of our bonus fun time. And so we've been able to keep it out of the red.
Well, that's incredible. Another quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the call this morning is Kelly from the Kodiak Baptist Mission Farm on Kodiak Island. Kelly, before we forget, let's tell people how they can connect with the farm, learn more about the farm, the day camps, the horse riding opportunities, et cetera. Tell us about your website, social media, et cetera.
Yep. So we have KodiakBaptistMission.org. So they're able to find all of our kids programs, whether it be the outdoor preschool or day camps, horse camps that we have going on. That's a good start place. And if you really want to, and we have our Kodiak Baptist Mission Facebook page, and you can see everything the kids are doing every day, and an Instagram page. If you want to see the behind the scenes kind of nitty gritty, we started. It's called Simply Living AK, and that's a lot of Instagram stories, and we put up the pretty pictures, but watch the stories if you want to see us
right
living life. And so that's a great way to connect. We're around all the time. You come to the Saturday Farmers Market, you're going to see our whole group here hanging out. And so we're all around here today. Steven's the only one out on the boat today transporting some wood to a nearby island. Otherwise, we all stick around. I have cheese processing in the kitchen right now, so
yum.
We don't go too far.
Yeah. So people, you know, think about Kodiak, or they hear the term Kodiak, and you either think about the fisheries or you think about the brown bears. Do you guys have issues with the bears on the farm?
We had one issue this past fall, and we kind of joke. We had a benefit supper here, and Johnny was heading home early and heading up past the pigs. And the pigs are behind a 10,000-volt electric wire. And as he was coming up, there was a big Kodiak bear right in the pasture there, the pen with the pigs. And it had killed one pig, and the other pig was kind of going crazy. Well, Johnny startled him when he came up on him. And thankfully, he hit that electric wire from the inside. He was coming right at him and kind of bounced off like a pinball.
Johnny, oh my goodness,
said, started running around inside that pen and barking and clawing the trees, and Johnny was able to get away. And anyway, the bear did come back and actively pursued him, and so we did shoot that bear.
Yeah.
Which was not something we wanted to do at all, but being a child care
facility,
and that sense, otherwise not had any problems. You know, a couple of years ago I had a bear walk 20 feet behind one of my goat sheds, just walked right through and left. Most of the bears that we have here are interested in trash.
Okay.
And so they're really not, you know, they don't really care much for this incredible smorgasbord they could have on the farm. And we're fortunate with our placement too, just being right outside the city limits.
Sure.
Those are normally the type of bears that are around us.
Yeah. What about over on the island with the cattle? Because I know, you know, I've had Chris Flickinger on the show before, and I know bears are a big problem for him and his operation. So over with the cattle, do you have more trouble there? Or?
You know, it's funny. We thought, this is so great. We're going to move our cattle to an island that doesn't have any bears. And there's a bear.
Oh, no.
Woody Island now,
yeah.
That has taken up residency. However, we've calved out, and we just had a calf last week, it was, and we haven't lost any of our calves or the horses to bear. We've seen a lot of traces of bears, but they've left our little herd alone at this point.
Well, good. And that's good to hear.
So we're hopeful. You know, from how we understand it, you know, normally bears aren't over there, and they'll swim back and forth. We're hoping when these salmon start coming in good that the bear will head back over to Kodiak.
Okay. Yeah. So, Kelly, if bears aren't as big of an issue as I was suspecting they would be, what would you say is one of the bigger challenges or pests or problems that you deal with on the farm? It can't just all be, roses and happy times with the kids,
yeah.
Right?
No, it's not. To be honest, I think the challenge that's been the hardest is, you know, we don't have a vet.
Oh, okay.
And so we have a new vet that she's just come in and is interested in doing large animals. But for me, that has been really challenging. You know, so we lost a calf, or my bottle calf that grew up, you know, she calved out. Well, we lost her calf. And normally I'd call the vet.
Sure.
Growing up, you know, our vets were our friends.
Absolutely.
And we spent a lot of time with them. They came out, you know, we worked cattle. That was a big deal. And so to not have that just quick call has been very, very challenging. And then we are in a community that maybe once was very deeply rooted in ag, but now it's not. It's a new venture for us.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reteaching.
Sure.
You know, not everybody's thrilled that we put cattle back on our land on Woody Island.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
That because there's manure and they eat the pretty flowers.
Mm,
and you know, that's challenging. And we're right in the middle of the town, so we're so great. We are constantly on display.
Sure.
And that definitely has its challenges. And so, you know, you second guess yourself.
Oh, I bet.
I do myself a lot, you know, where I think, oh, growing up, I didn't have everybody watching.
Sure, you weren't in that fishbowl. Yeah.
And same thing, you know, if I have a sick goat or there's a problem, you know, I'm trying to diagnose it and pull out a big book and figure out exactly, or trying to call a vet friend or, you know, something along those lines.
That animal husbandry and vet issue is something that we face statewide in Alaska. And, you know, I know that the university has taken different angles on trying to get the School of Veterinary Science to get more, you know, kids in that system up here. But, yeah, something that we're trying to deal with across the state. So good luck there. Kelly, this our time goes by so fast, and we're approaching that wrap-up time already. So put on your magic glasses and tell me what you think Kodiak Baptist Mission Farm will look like 5 years from now, or what are some of your goals for what you'd like the place to look like?
That question gave me chills. I would love to see a fully self-sustainable farm. I'll get a little emotional on this because I believe so strongly in providing that for our community and our island. So a place where, you know, if planes don't fly and boats don't come in, we can help provide a little stability and the assurance that things are going to be okay. You know, that we have a place that still does have a grade A certified dairy. That's not going to be taken away. You know, that we can still provide that. That we can provide, you know, people across our state can have the Kodiak goat cheese on their salads.
Oh,
or
I can't
put
wait.
It in their
grilled
cheese sandwiches, you know, whether you're on Kodiak Island or clear up in Nome, and it'll still be fresh cheese that never left the state. I hope that every single kid on our island knows about animals, has had the opportunity to ride a horse, see a baby goat be born, bottle feed a calf, and hopefully help grow up our vets and our agriculture, you know, for kids that believe in it and that want to stay, and that we just can hopefully help grow up these kids that will help grow our island and our state agriculture program.
Oh, man. Kelly, I love it. That's just perfect. I wanted to thank you so much for joining me this morning on Ag Matters Radio. It's been a pleasure to get to know a little bit more about the farm there, and I look forward to watching you guys on social media and, like I said, hopefully getting over there and shaking your hand someday and seeing the operation.
Absolutely. Well, we'll save you some goat milk ice cream, and I take specialty requests now for flavors. I had a gentleman ask for toasted almond, and we created it for him.
Oh, perfect. Well, cheese is my love language, so I'll go for the cheese before the ice cream.
Well, that's
but
great. I think I have feta and Chevrolet and Monterey Jack in the fridge right now. So.
Perfect. All right, Kelly.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.